Starting off tonight, we're continuing on some teaching on fasting, which this is fasting season, and we haven't been doing a whole lot of teaching on it because, to be honest, again, you guys, you're the core group. You have heard so much teaching by Pastor Dave and others. At this point, you could teach seminars on fasting rather than having to learn about it. So we're not going to do, I don't think, a whole lot of teaching on fasting, but I do want to encourage you to do some. I don't want to ask for a show of hands or anything like that, but I'm going to say it again. This is the fasting season. And if you're not doing anything to the point your flesh isn't mad at you, you're not doing it right. Okay? And, he was going on the teaching. I did that for years. I thought fast meant quickly. And so I could always finish a 40-day fast in about 4 minutes. You know, it didn't take long. I don't know what's wrong with these other people. I mean, I get fast, right? Quick. And of course, that's not what it means. In fact, we're going to get into what it really means tonight. So this morning we finished up. I'm telling you, this revelation hit me so strong this week, and it's sad that I've been at this long before it really hits me. Let's look at those three verses again in Matthew 9:15. I'm going to look very carefully. Let me adjust my glasses, get the right verses. Matthew 9:15, Mark 2:20, and Luke 5:35. Luke 5:35. And the point of this, you know, it says by two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Yes, sir. I'm not going to ignore this. I've actually had Bible student graduates, different Bible colleges. They come out with the impression after attending 2 years, 4 year curriculum, you don't need to fast. Trouble is, that's not what Jesus says. So let's look at what he says about this dispensation we're in. Now, this is not the lesson. We're just picking up at the end of this morning's lesson. Okay? So Matthew 9:15. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn, he's talking about fasting, as long as the bridegroom is with them? All right, let's stop for a minute. At the moment he's speaking, obviously he is on planet Earth in his own body. The bridegroom is with them, right? But now notice, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them. And notice, and then shall they fast. Now the subject here is his disciples. They came, John the Baptist's disciples, said, well, how come we, John's disciples, and the Pharisees and their disciples, they fast? But we notice your disciples don't fast. Well, during that dispensation, there was no need for them to, because he was here himself. He was fully manifested in the flesh in his own body. But he's saying, now the days come when I'm not going to be here like that. In that day, when I'm no longer physically here, my disciples shall fast. Say it with me. My disciples shall fast. On the second witness, and this is the one I messed up, Mark 2:20. I just want you to know how precisely these three gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, got his words on this and how strong they are. So Mark 2:20, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. Let me ask you, are we in those days? Is this not the day when Jesus is not physically here on the earth? Jesus in his, I know he's in your heart, but I'm talking about Jesus in his glorified body is seated at the right hand of the Father. So he says, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. And there it is again. And then shall they fast in those days. Now Luke 5:35. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them. And here it is again. Then shall they fast in those days. Well, what days? Our days. So I was even after this morning service, I was going, Lord, I still don't feel like I've got it across to everybody the way this is hitting me. He gave me the parable. He gave me this little parable. You know how Dave talks about that one fellow? This is a joke. If you haven't heard this, Dave used to tell this joke all the time. That one guy made it to heaven, and you know, you're supposed to not be able to take anything with you. But he made it, and he had a little sack with him. And all the angels, man, somebody finally came through, and they brought something with them. And this guy's guarding it like it's really precious, you know, and he's got this little sack. And the angels, what do you got in there? What is it so precious to you? And the guy, he finally lets him take a little peek. He opens it up, and the angels look in there. And they look, and it's gold, you know. And they're going, pavement? Because gold there is so nothing. They use it to pave the streets with, you know, streets paved with gold. It's nothing there. Well, let me give you another little parable. This guy, he made it through with something else. And he made it through with a radio microphone. His job on earth, he was one of these guys that would interview people for the radio. He made it through with his microphone. Somehow he makes it all the way to Jesus. And he's going to interview Jesus in heaven. So he's interviewing Jesus. And he's very similar to what happened here in these three accounts. He comes in, he says, I noticed today on planet Earth, your church does not fast. Those that say they're your disciples, I mean, hardly any of them do any fasting at all. And they're saying that you said they don't need to. And Jesus says in the interview, that's because they're ignorant of my word. I said during this time, my disciples shall fast. Does that hit you a little stronger? Say it with me. I am a disciple. I fast. If I do not fast, I am not a disciple. I might be saved on my way to heaven, but I can't call myself a disciple if I do not fast. Now, see, that hit me so hard this week. I'm going, I shouldn't have to be at this long. Again, I feel like an archaeologist, you know, that we're digging down through 2,000 years of rubble that's covered up the original foundation stones delivered by Jesus and the first apostles. Sometimes I wish I could. You know, John was the last apostle. They tried to boil him in oil. They tried everything to kill the guy, and they just couldn't kill him. I picture him. They say he was a little over 100 when he finally passed, you know. So I'm thinking, I wonder what it would have been like. Now, John's the apostle of love, right? But we went through 1 John. That love can be pretty tough, can it not? I wonder how my life would have been different if in the first 6 months that I was born again, I had had the opportunity to be apostled by that grizzled old apostle John. I think my walk would have been quite different, and I think yours would too. So I think God is bringing us full circle back around to the original, where we're going to learn daily to sit and be taught the apostles' doctrine, which we already know what that is. It's everything Jesus taught them. And one of the things that Jesus taught in this dispensation, in plain words, Jesus says, my disciples shall fast. Okay. Is that clear? Is that hitting you? So fasting is going, I'm just telling you now, I've been doing more of it this year than I've probably ever done in my life. I'm still not as good as, I haven't done a 40-day water fast. I'll just fess up. Daisy, when she was here, she would do two of those a year. Dave used to make comment. He says, now, Daisy, if God ever called you to Iraq or Afghanistan and the Taliban, they arrest you and they lock you up and they say, if you don't reject Jesus, we're not going to feed you for 7 days. Said Daisy, try not to laugh. 7 days. I mean, this is a lady that near the end of January says, I think I'll eat again in March. 40 days. See, nobody's saying nothing. You see that right there? I haven't done that yet. I'm not saying I won't. I'm not saying I will. But I am saying I'm not living anymore without putting pressure on my flesh when it comes to fasting. I am a disciple. And now I see it clear as day. His disciples fast. Well, if I'm one of his disciples, that means I fast. And it doesn't mean once a year during the month of January either. My flesh is going to come under the thumb of the Spirit. Now, that's all there is to it. Well, while we're there, we're in Luke. Let's go down just a little bit more. Luke 5:39. No man, also having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new. For he saith, the old is better. What Jesus is really talking about there, listen, change is hard. Especially if you have progressed in your walk. Let's say, I'll just take Gary. Gary, when he first got saved, was an alcoholic, pornographic, lots of pornography, cussing, smoking, totally sold out for money. My whole life revolved around money. See, I can take where I started, and I can go where I'm walking now. Thank God. It's all by grace now. I'm just saying, though, my walk is vastly different than it was when I started. You know, thank God I don't drink, and I now don't smoke, and I don't cuss, and I don't do pornography. It's all Him. But I'm just saying my walk is quite, could I say, higher than it was when I started. And the problem is, if you're not, you can get comfortable. Right now, money's not, it's not staying away in great abundance. We have enough to meet our needs, and we have a little extra to give, and we have enough to give to the church, and the grandkids. Sue has enough to buy some stuff for the grandkids. What I'm saying is, you can get comfortable at any place, and that's the wine, if you'll allow me, that you're used to. But see, the trouble of it is, and then we start talking about fasting, and something in you goes, no, I'm good. I'm good. My life's pretty good, just like it is. I don't know if I'm going to do any of that fasting, you know. And again, I'm going to recommend to you, if that's you, you ought to start getting the monthly letters from St. Jude's Hospital. And they'll send you every month a picture of one or more children, innocent, not accountable, no fault of their own, with some kind of cancer. Their little bald-headed faces. See, if you won't stay comfortable. That old wine will not start tasting quite so sweet. And you say, I've got to have new wine. I've got to live somewhere other than where I'm living now. It's got to be when they bring those kids here. They can go home healed. First time. Every time. Without exception. Well, we're never going to really... Now, we have that new wine in the sense of being born again, but I'm talking about walking in the fullness of the resurrection life that we've been given. That's what Paul talked about. He says, I want to know the power of His resurrection. He was wanting to walk in the fullness of what we've been given. But we're not walking in the fullness of that till every one of those kids goes home healed. And your hunger for that new wine will cause you to push away from the table. Amen? All right, end of this morning's review. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The verse I'm after is verse 5. In this passage, Paul is not really teaching on fasting. He's really teaching on marriage and celibacy, if you choose to do that. Not in marriage. You don't get to choose celibacy in marriage. But anyway, because the title here says celibacy or marriage, one or the other. And you can choose either one, okay? But in the course of this teaching, he drops a real nugget, a real truth about fasting combined with prayer. So the title of tonight's lesson is Seasons of Fasting and Prayer. Seasons of Fasting and Prayer. So let's read the passage first, and then I'll start teaching about it. So 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Well, now we know where Nathan got his message. Don't touch the woman. Now he's talking about fornication before marriage, you know. Verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. And let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. And likewise also the wife unto the husband due benevolence. He's talking about the normal marital relations between a man and a woman. Okay. Verse 4. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. In other words, it's not okay to say no. Either way, man or woman. Okay? Now it is okay to say no to weird and perverse stuff. Okay? That's another lesson. He's talking about normal marital relations. All right. But now in the course of this, verse 5 he drops a real nugget here about prayer and fasting. So he's talking about now when you get married, you have a husband and a wife. If the wife desires benevolence, it's not okay for the husband to say no. And if the husband desires benevolence, okay, we're in church, it's not okay for the wife to say no. He said that's normal. That's a good thing. How many knows that's a good thing? See, God designed that when it's proper and you're married, that is a good and a wonderful thing. It's a blessing from God. Okay. And he says, now, verse 5, though, defraud ye not one another. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're not going to do it. We're not going to share our benevolence. He says, well, don't do that except it be with consent, both of you agree, for a time. Now, could I say a season? He doesn't say how long a time. Could be a day. Could be a couple of days. Could be a week. Could be a month. I don't know. Except it be with consent for a time. But why would you do that? That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And come again together that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now what I want to point out. You remember when Dave would talk about the early days. And I don't know how early it was. But he would get under attack emotionally. And he got to where he says, I couldn't even pray in tongues. I couldn't open my word. I was just beat right there. He said the only thing that it seemed like I could do was fast. Just not eat. Y'all remember him talking about that? And he's talking about, now during that warfare, he says, I'd lay in the bed with my jug of water and my remote control. And about the only strength I had was to change the channels. Remember? Now he, see what's it? Yeah. Honey, I can't think of it. He likes Chuck Norris, you know? Walker, Texas Ranger. That's what he likes. You know, okay, Walker is on Channel 7, you know, or whatever. But he says there was a time, there was a season for Dave where his emotions and all was so beat down that he couldn't really pray. He says, I just couldn't do it. And I couldn't get in the Word. I couldn't get in the Word. My emotions were just, I couldn't do it. He said for him, the thing that worked, he said, all I could do was just fast. Now, that's just fasting, just not eating. But he said even that worked. Do what you can. And if, like right now, I know many people are doing fasting while they're on their job. They're fasting. I'm fasting while I'm doing most of my work. I know Angie and others that I know, they're fasting. But there is a seat, and that's good. It's fine to fast while you do other things. The reason I brought that up about Dave, how many of you are glad he did that? Well, thank God he made it through that impasse, and then he got to where he could open his word and he could pray, you know. So just do what you can. But what Paul is pointing out here, there is a time to have a seasons where you give yourself to fasting and prayer. You're not doing it like on the job now. You're at the point where even in the privacy of your home, trying to get this picture, we're not fasting even while we have normal relations, husband and wife. We're not doing anything else. Seasons of fasting and prayer. And boy, I believe the church needs that. During this fasting season, and I know people have jobs and things you've got to do, but you don't work every day. What about a Saturday if you're off on a Saturday, or maybe your day off is a Thursday, whatever. You can have a day off sometime. You ever think about just giving a day? Wonder what would happen to you. Wonder how your life would change. Even just one day, fasting, prayer, where you don't focus on anything but Him. Maybe you get your confessions out. Maybe you read the Word. To me, the word is always appropriate. But I'm talking about doing non-spiritual things. Fasting while I wash my car. Fasting in prayer while I do. Well, that's fine. It's better. It's better to just lay in the bed and fast and click the remote than not fast at all. But boy, what if you do seasons of fasting and prayer? Let's look at that verse again. Verse 5. Defraud you not one another, except it be with consent for a time, let's say for a season. Well, why would I do that? That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. I believe we're in for some of that. I know Gary is already into some of that. Seasons of fasting and prayer. Let's look at a season of fasting and prayer. Go to Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was Antioch. There was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and notice, and Saul. That's the same Saul who becomes the Apostle Paul. Now notice, as they ministered to the Lord, and what? And fasted. Now, minister to the Lord, what would you call that? That's worship. It could be prayer. Could be confession. But you're ministering to the Lord. I think primarily worship is what I think of. Worship with fasting. Who ever heard of such? But they were ministering to the Lord and fasting. And in the midst of that, the Holy Ghost said, I'm telling you, if you give yourself to seasons of prayer and in the middle of it, the Holy Ghost says, He starts talking to you. Your life has just taken a whole new course. All right? But watch. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And then notice, and when they had what? Fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So there was fasting before the Holy Ghost spoke. There was fasting after the Holy Ghost spoke. We have not given fasting the prominence. See, and this follows perfectly with what was earlier in the lesson. Jesus said, in this dispensation, my disciples will fast. Well, we can sure see an example of it there. Now, let me read you a little bit from some notes that I pray and I write. See, scriptural fasting always involves food. Okay? In modern times, and I've done this myself, we speak of fasting television, fasting the newspaper, fasting movies, or so forth. And right now, this last week, we've been going through what Jim Martin called an electronics fast. Not spending time on Facebook, not spending time with movies and TV so much. Okay? But really, biblical, scriptural fasting, everywhere you find the word fasting, it's always food. Those other things, really, if you want to be scriptural, they're called weights. And that's Hebrews 12:1. Let us lay aside every weight. Didn't call them sins. Right after that, he says, and the sin which so easily besets us. Some things are sin. Some things are not sin. But they're weights. The picture there, if you know, all these Greek and Hebrew words have pictures with them. The picture there is a runner. Like in a marathon or trying to win a race, and you tied lead weights around his ankles. You're just slowing the man down. And depending on how big the weights are, he may not even finish his race. What would be a good example of like weights today? Don't everybody? Well, television, is not a, by in itself is not inherently evil. You can have good preaching on television. I remember in the early, when I was a boy, telling myself a little bit, you do know when I was just a little boy, I had a drug problem, right? I got drugged to church Sunday morning, drugged to church Sunday night, drugged to church Wednesday night. But I got to tell you, I didn't like it at all. Sit there on them hard wooden pews, listen to that boring message. Will this ever be over? Now, it'd been different if I'd ever seen anybody healed, if I'd ever seen one devil cast out. I did see people get saved, and I still remember it to this day. People that I knew that got saved. I mean, they really got saved. I do remember that, okay? But I remember sitting there so many, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Oh, God, when will this be over? But what was funny, we'd come home on Sunday afternoon, and Mom always had a roast or a chicken or something cooking. We'd have a big meal. And then usually Mom and Dad would be outside doing something or other. People weren't indoors as much then as they are now. They'd be taking care of the grass or the yard or the dog or something. And I was so bored in that service that morning. But while they're out doing that, I would sneak downstairs where our black and white TV was. Because at 2 in the afternoon, Oral Roberts came on. And I'd sit there enthralled watching Oral Roberts' empty wheelchairs. See, even then, that seed was in me. And I knew there was something way, way more, see. And still pressing towards that today, see. But I want it first time, every time, like Jesus said. Okay? There's a big difference between revival and life. All right. So I said all that to say TV can be a wonderful thing. Oral Roberts almost single-handedly brought the knowledge that healing is for today into America's living rooms. He pioneered television with he's not the only one, but he's the one that was on our station. I didn't have anybody else at the time that I could watch. But by golly, he was on TV, and he'd sit there. How many of you remember? They had a ramp, and they'd bring him up, and here's Oral sitting there. And he'd lay his hand on him, and man, they'd jump out of that chair and dance, and I'm going, doggone, God is real. I'd go back to church the next Sunday, oh, God. Anyway. But I'm saying TV can be a very good thing. It put good seed in me as a little boy. See, you see what I'm saying? So TV itself is not sin, is what I'm saying. Depends on how you use it. It's like money, you know. How do you use it? One time somebody got on to Oral. He was building something over here, and they found out that a big offering, like I forget now, but I don't know, a big offering, hundreds of thousands of dollars came in. But it came in from a guy who owned a dog racing track, I think in Florida maybe, but anyway, southeast somewhere. Said, don't you know where that money come from? How could you possibly use that money? How could you receive that money? That's gambling money. Earl said, well, that money may have been lost when it come here. But once it comes here, that money's saved. I'm putting it right into the kingdom. And I'm going to, and I thought about that later. You know, I had a used pickup truck. Well, I don't really know what that pickup truck was used for before I got it. It could have been used to smuggle drugs. It could have been used to use it for anything. But I'm telling you right now, when that pickup got to me, that pickup got saved. Isn't that right? All right. So scriptural fasting always involves food. In modern times, we speak of fasting regarding television or the newspaper or movies, but none of those things are actually scriptural fasting. They're more, we would call them weights. That it's not a sin, but they may really be slowing you down. How much, don't ever really do this because you won't like yourself so much, but you ought to keep a log for a week. How much time do you spend in front of the TV? How much time do you spend on that little screen on Facebook or Instagram? I don't, those other things. Anyway, fasting, according to the Bible, always involves food. There's many types of food fast you'll find in the Bible. There's a total food fast, which is water only. There's the Daniel fast, which is basically a vegetarian. And, you know, it's more than just vegetarian. It's non-tasty. It's not. It's like mostly just raw vegetables. Because he said, no dainty meats, no pleasant meat. It's talking about, my daughter Angie's sitting over here. Angie can take a carrot, which to me has almost no taste at all. By the time she gets through with that carrot, you'd kill for it. I mean, man, that's a tasty carrot, okay? Or just about any vegetable. But Daniel was saying, no, we just ate them. That wasn't pleasant meat. Just pretty much raw. See, that's a fast. Why? Your body's not going to like that. Okay? It wants the tasty stuff. Then there's series fasting. Dave taught us. See, and there's no point in me going back through that again. If anybody that doesn't know it, you've got fasting series available by Pastor Dave Roberson. Jim Martin has an excellent series on fasting. I imagine Bronk does too. But all of these different kinds of fast, the total fast, the Daniel fast, series fasting, all of those involve food. But it is scriptural to abstain from other non-sinful pleasures while you're fasting food. And that's where we came to that verse here in 1 Corinthians 7:5. It's okay to abstain from marital relations so that you can give yourself to fasting and prayer. You're focusing on God in every way that you can. Spirit, soul, and even your body. Okay? So during seasons of fasting and prayer, Paul says, husband and wife, there should be times by consent where they also abstain from normal marital relations. Those marital relations are certainly not sinful. Amen? God is the one who designed husband and wife for that very purpose. Marital relations, marital, are not sinful, but they are pleasurable. Fasting is denying the flesh its desire to dominate you. In a nutshell, that's what fasting is. It denies the flesh its right to dominate you. Fasting puts the foot of the spirit man on the neck of the flesh, saying, like Sue says, you are not the boss of me. Denying the flesh food enforces that positional truth of death that has been declared upon the flesh. Denying it gratification from marital relations also enforces the spirit man's dominance over the flesh. So first you're going, you know, I'm just going to assume your flesh talks like mine does. When I first started this years ago, even think about a fast. My flesh, let's go get a sack of hamburgers. I mean, we better load up, you know. And then you start the fasting. I'm going to die. I'm sure I'm one of those that has a medical condition. I bet it's my thyroid. If I do this, I'm going to die. I know I'm the one of those. I'm going to die. No, you're not going to die. It just makes you think you're going to die. And it took a while. I learned pretty early on, it's not really the hunger. It's not, well, let's say it not that way. It's not the scientific lack of food that causes you to quit fasting. It's the emotions. It's the emotions. And the emotions is normally what gets us in trouble. You ever get knocked out? Knocked out of prayer? Did you ever stop praying for a season? It's your emotions. Well, fasting is the same way. So early on, I see what's going on here. Fasting is something I can do on purpose to stir up an emotional war in myself. And then, before I'm on the front line facing the real enemy, I can train my emotions through fasting. And I saw early on, fasting is like a boot camp. It's something I can do to train myself. So that later on, when the enemy, you know, you're on the front line standing for God, and the enemy comes and he says your mother's fat and ugly and has a mustache, or whatever it is, I'm going to burn your house down. I'm going to do this. You're going to tear down your tower. Remember that teaching? I'm going to attack your tower, whatever it is that you love. I'm going to attack it. Your emotions won't run you off because you trained them in the boot camp of fasting. You see that? It's an excellent boot camp where you learn to overcome your emotions. So Paul is saying fasting is denying the flesh food. And if you want, you can also deny yourself pleasure that comes from non-sinful things like marital relations. You could do it with television. That's not really fasting, But now you're taking off some of the weights for a while. Let's lay some weights aside, okay? I'm gonna pray and fast, and sweetie pie, I love you, but let's agree this week we're going to give this week to really seeking God. So we're not going to have relations for a few days, and then, hey, let's cut back. Let's leave the TV off in the evenings. What about you and I just pray? We can give ourselves to fasting and prayer, and maybe read the Bible together. You know, it's a good thing. One of my favorite things on earth is we'll sit there and I'll read a chapter and Sue will read a chapter. And I'll read a chapter and Sue will read a chapter. We're not preaching, we're just reading. It's a wonderful bonding, wonderful, wonderful thing to do. So Paul said in that verse, again, fasting is denying the flesh food, but you can also abstain from pleasurable things like marital relations that are not sin, because you just want to give yourselves completely, again, for a season of fasting and prayer. By the way, I'm not going to say this as doctrine yet, because I just discovered it right before this lesson, right before I left the house. But I'm pretty sure every time fasting and prayer is mentioned in the New Testament, fasting always comes first. I always say prayer and fasting. And I could be wrong. I haven't really checked it out, but I did it quickly. And from what I could see on the ones in my little Bible thing, quickly, fasting always is mentioned first. Fasting and prayer. No. No. Oh, God, let it not be. If fasting comes higher priority. Well, anyway, more to come on that. I need time to thoroughly check that out. Don't hold me to it. I'm not sure yet. So, if Paul says that it's reasonable to deny each other the benefit of marital relations so you can give yourself to a season of fasting and prayer, it seems reasonable also that Paul would say in our day, well, you might want to deny yourself the pleasure that comes from watching TV, YouTube, Facebook, and all of these other things. Why? What's the purpose? So you can give yourself to a season of fasting and prayer, totally focusing on God, spirit, soul, and body. You're forcing that old body. You will not eat. You're going to sit here and be nice. And if you try and tell me otherwise, you are not the boss of me. We're going to show you who is the boss right now. Okay? Now, Paul did say he was not writing this by commandment. See, this is not a law. But it simply makes sense that if you are going to give yourself to seasons of fasting and prayer, then go ahead and deny your flesh the gratification of pleasure it would normally receive through non-sinful means. It is okay to fast food and to abstain from pleasurable weights simultaneously. Yes, sir. I didn't look this up. Let's see if I can find it. Go to one of the Corinthians. Which one? I'll tell you in a minute. Hang on here. Yes, 2 Corinthians, just like I said. Teasing. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Yes, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Starting in 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, he starts listing many of the things he had to go through in order to accomplish his calling. He says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Now notice, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Stripes, you know what that is? There, he's probably talking about the Jewish stripes, which is 39 lashes. But he had that happen to him so many times. He says, if you look on my back, you can't even count them. I wonder how many modern day milk toast, soft, like Gary, I'm not picking on you, marshmallow Gary, wonder how many stripes Gary would endure. Gary needs to be a soldier. Stripes above. So So if my emotions beat me out over a cheeseburger, what's going to happen when they start putting stripes on my back? Can you see what we're talking about here? Now, I know not all of us are called to an apostle. Most of us in America will probably never have persecution. But if you think you're going to finish your walk without winning the emotional war, you've got another thing coming. That devil is planning on beating you, and his normal number one way to do it is through your emotions. Okay, and stripes above measure in prisons, arrested more frequent, in deaths often. He just means, you know, he was stoned once and left for dead. The threat of death was, they had to let him down through a basket because they put out a hit on him, you know. Remember that one city? They had to let him down through a window in a basket so he could escape because they were going to kill him. Now, he mentions the Jews' stripes here. So there's both kinds, I guess. Stripes above measure, but here in verse 24, of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. That's a bunch of stripes. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, that was at Lystra. Thrice, I suffered shipwreck. Oh man, a night and a day I have been in the deep. Boy, I've meditated that one. After probably holding on to some part of a plank, you know, something. Hopefully you got it. Hopefully it's big enough you can get your body out of the water, because about then a fin goes by, you know, and you hear the jaws thing. And don't you know the devil is saying, where is your God now? Sure, like Alan this morning, sure he's faithful. You have obeyed him, and look how he has abandoned. You can just imagine the emotions. But look at verse 26. In journeyings often, get this, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. What he's really saying there? Treason. False brethren, you thought they were with you, but they were not with you. They turned you into the authorities for money or something, like Judas. Verse 27. In weariness and painfulness. Oh my. In watchings often. Now, I particularly wanted to come for this verse. In hunger and thirst. But notice in the same verse, the same breath. In fastings what? In fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's enough for now. But in the same verse, why delineate, why make a difference between hunger and thirst and fastings often? Hunger and thirst is when you don't have anything to eat or drink. Fastings is when you do, but you choose not to. You see that? Even though I went through times where I didn't have a biscuit, I didn't have a thing to eat, hunger. I was really hungry. You think your emotions would work? Here comes that devil again. Where's your God now? Give you all those verses where he supplies. Well, look, do you have supplies? I know that voice. When the days when money was staying away in great abundance, I know that voice. So there were times when I was hungry. Times when I was thirsty. Why? There wasn't anything to eat. Just wasn't anything. But right in the same breath, he said, and fastings often. Well, that's different. Fastings is where you have it, but you choose not to use it, not to eat it. I believe how he made it through the hungers and thirstings is because he made a practice of the fastings. He went through the boot camp to train himself so that his emotions did not rule him. And it did not matter what the devil threw at him. Nothing could separate Paul from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, we're in fasting season. I'm closing now. Aren't you glad? In America, we hardly know what it is to be hungry. with nothing to eat. I'm sure there's people that and even in America that go through that, I know. Sue and I were talking the other day, you know, because we did go through a season where money was staying away in great abundance, and we really did not know where our next meal was coming from. There was more than once we set the dinner table with plates and knives and forks, and there wasn't a thing in the house to eat, not a thing. And we just sit there and pray or worship God, I could tell you testimony after testimony. The doorbell would ring. Somebody brought over a leftover chicken. Somebody said, "Hey, you guys want some pizza?" I mean, I could just go on and on. But Sue and I got to thinking, we never remember, even during that time of intense training, we don't ever remember going to bed really hungry. He always came through. We may not have had filet mignon, but we had PBJ. PBJ is a wonderful thing, by the way. Peanut butter and jelly. Glory to God. My age now, you can leave the crust on. Just make sure I get the sandwich. But see, we're in a season right now. And those words are just hitting me. I can't get away from them. My disciples shall fast. My disciples shall fast. How in the world we ever got, the church ever come to the position that fasting is optional when those words are in there? In that day, with the one we're in now, my disciples shall fast. No wonder he said over in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 6, when you fast, not if you fast.